Okay, Ramam Gimel, Amid Aleph, 43A3, 8 lines before the lines get line, before the lines get wide. Okay, the story up to now, the Gemara is answering Shammai's opinion. Before in the Gemara they brought down, we're learning the dinim of a shliach, right? That a shliach of a person is like the person himself. And then the Gemara said, when it comes to Aveda though, there is no shliach when it comes to an Aveda. The Gemara said one of the reasons for that is, it's a logic. I tell you to sin, God tells you not to sin, who are you supposed to listen to? So therefore the sender can tell the shliach, you shouldn't have listened to me. I told you to kill somebody, who told you to listen to me? Hashem said, don't kill, why are you listening to me? But the Gemara brought down that Shammai says, in the name of Chagi Anovi, that if you send somebody to kill somebody, it's like you did it. Okay, Chai B'dinei Shamayim. And the Gemara, and the reason for that is he brought a proof, and this is what we're in the middle of the Gemara now. He brought a proof because the Navi said to David HaMelech, you killed Uriah Hiti, Bathsheba's husband. Okay? You killed him. Even though David HaMelech did not kill him, David HaMelech just sent him to the war, and the Goyim killed him. But the fact that David HaMelech sent him there for the Goyim to kill him, it's like David HaMelech killed him. That's what the Gemara said. So the Gemara answered a few reasons why Shammai says what he says. Does he mean that the courts can kill you or only Hashem could kill you because he indirectly killed him or not? Okay, so he says like this. Iboy Shema, over there, another answer you could say like this. That really Shammai holds that even by murder there's no shliach. Why does Shammai say chayiv and he brings a proof from David HaMelech? So he says, over there Shani Hossam, the case of the Braisa, where it says that they bring a proof from the Navi that David HaMelech killed Uriah Hiti, over there, the Goler Rachamanim, because over there, that particular murder, Hashem says, Eisei Harakta, you killed him, B'chad Ebnei Amin. In other words, it was a unique situation. Normally, when you send somebody to kill somebody, it's not like you did it. Over there, there's a unique situation, for whatever reason it is, that the David HaMelech was considered as if he killed Uriah Hiti, even though he didn't actually kill him. So Gemara says, V'idach, so how does the other opinion disclaim the proof that Shammai has from this Pasuk? So he says, no, what the Pasuk means is, Arei l'cho k'cher ev b'nei amin. The Pasuk says, Osa harakta, you killed him with the sword of b'nei amin. So the first opinion learns, what does that mean? That the Sasek B'nai Amin killed, you killed. Sigmar says, no, that's not what the Pasuk means. It's like the sword that you killed the people from Amin. What does that mean? Ma'achar of B'nai Amin. Just like the people from Amin who came to fight the Jews. You're not punishable for them, because it was war. See, they were allowed to kill the enemy. The same thing, when it comes to Uriah Hiti, that David HaMelech officially so-called killed, you're not going to be punished. In other words, it's not that, like the first opinion says, like Shammai says, that it means you killed him, because you killed him like the Cher of B'nai Amin. Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. It means killing Uriah Hiti was like same way you killed them. Just like you killed B'nai Amin in battle, you're not liable for killing them. The same thing, you're not liable for killing Uriah Hiti. So the Gemara says, my time, why? So the Gemara says, we mentioned this before, Meided B'malchus Savoy. He was Meided B'malchus. Uriah Hiti was considered rebelling against the king. Why was Uriah Hiti rebelling against the king?
Because the king was calling
amongst
his wife.
No. Here. My time, what's the reason? So it says like this. The Omer, Ka'omer lay, because Yoav, Uriah Hiti, in the presence of David, HaMelech said like this. Adeni Yoav, my master Yoav, who was the general of David HaMelech's war, of battle, V'chol Avdei Adeni, and all the servants of my master, Al Pnei HaSadochenim are resting in an open field. Okay? So what was the problem with this statement? Two things. Rashi learns one way, Tosfos learns another way. Rashi learns, when Uri Achiti said, my master Yoav, in the presence of David HaMelech, he wasn't allowed to say that. In the presence of the king, only the king exists. Nobody else exists. That's the halacha. In fact, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, if you make any slight movement in the presence of a king, you get killed. Just move. If a fly comes on your forehead and you go like this, you chayiv mis. That's called rebelling against the king. That's what the Gemara says. It's halacha. Uri Achiti, when he's talking to David HaMelech about Yoav, he had no right to say, my master Yoav, because that's giving respect to somebody else in the presence of the king, which is wrong. Tosfos learns two other interpretations. David HaMelech, Tosfos learns two more things that Uri Achiti actually did. David HaMelech said to Uri Achiti, go, why did Uri Achiti say this? David HaMelech said to him, go home, eat, sleep, be with your wife, just go home. Uri Achiti said to him, the people are the servants, Adoni Yoav, and the servants are in the open field, meaning in the dangerous, I should go home. That rebelled against the king. The king said, go home, and he said, no.
Because he wanted to fight.
Yeah, but if the king says, go home, you're not allowed to rebel, you're not allowed to contradict the king. Or, another reason Tosfos says why he rebelled, because he said like this, my master Yoav, and all the servants of the king. He should have said, all the servants of the king and Yoav. The fact that he put general before the king, that itself was rebelling against the king. So these are the three reasons. Either Rashi says, because he called him my master Yoav, when he shouldn't have, or because he put Yoav before the king, or the king told him to go home and he didn't. Bottom line, the Gemara says, that's why David HaMelech was not punished for killing Uri Achiti. See, Shammai learns that the Pasuk is telling David HaMelech, you killed Uri Achiti. That's why Shammai says, if you send a shliach to kill somebody, you're obligated, because so David HaMelech did it. And the other opinion says, no, David HaMelech, the Pasuk is not saying you're guilty. On the contrary, the Pasuk is saying you're innocent. Why are you innocent? Because Uri Achiti was supposed to die anyway. Instead, David HaMelech didn't kill him. He sent him to the front and said, like we said last time, let God decide what to do. But technically, he could have killed David HaMelech. I mean, he could have killed Uri Achiti, and he didn't. So because of that, he's not punished. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Amar Rava said, we learned one opinion before, that according to Shammai, when it comes to an Aveda, the sender is obligated. There is a shliach, even when it comes to Aveda. And he said before, because Shnei Ksum Bar M'kech Malamdim, and Ahu Ho'odo Darashlei. Okay, basically he says like this. According to Shammai, that says there is a shliach by murder, that it's like you did it, he said, Maida, he would still admit, not in all cases, that Ba'aymer L'Shluchei, if Shammai would agree that if somebody said to a shliach, Tzei Ba'elos Eva, commit adultery, or Achelos Achelev, eat a piece of tray for food. So even though he's sending him to do it, which by murder would make the sender liable, in this case Shammai would agree that the shliach, the agent, is the one liable. Why? Shehu Chayiv, he would say that the agent is Chayiv, the Shalch of Potter, and the one that sent him is Potter. Why? Shalei Matzino b'chol ha-teira kula. Because nowhere in Teira do we find the concept. Zeh nene, one guy enjoys it, and one guy gets punished. The other thing is, murder, there's no benefit, there's no pleasure. So Shammai says, okay, if I send you to kill somebody, it's like I did it. Okay. But if I tell you, eat tray for food, or commit adultery, where there's enjoyment involved, so over there, nobody's going to say, the agent enjoyed the sin, and he should be punished. That doesn't make sense. So even then, Shammai would agree that there is no shliach l'dvar aveda. And now the Rava is really defining Shammai very clearly, that even if you want to say that Shammai holds there is an agent for sin, that's only when there's no benefit, enjoyment. But in the case where the shliach, the agent, is enjoying it, then you cannot obligate the sender. Because it doesn't make sense. He's having all the fun, and I should be punished. That doesn't make sense. Even Shammai would agree that only the agent is chayiv and not the sender. Okay, now starts a new interesting gemara, which is also very, practical, but whatever. Itmar, we learned like this. Now the gemara is going to say something like this. Let's say it orally first, what the argument is. Can a shliach testify at what he's an agent for? Okay? Like the classic example. A shliach is sent to deliver a get to a woman. Can he come along after he gives the get? Is he allowed to testify that he gave the get as a witness?
Why not?
Huh?
Why not?
Oh, that's what I was going to discuss. Why not? There's a reason why not. There's a reason why, yeah. I mean,
testifying to that
table. Yeah. Can he testify that afterwards, or for instance, give an example. I owe you money. I owe you money. So I send him with the money to pay you. Okay? So you're my shliach. Okay? Can you testify that I paid him the money? You brought him the money. Are you a kosher witness? How do you know? We'll soon see.
What am I gaining here?
We'll soon see.
I'm not gaining anything. I'm just doing something.
But
not my interest.
First of all, it could be an interest. And I'll tell you why.
It could be
fucking. Then I can say to you, where's the money I gave you? What happens, and like Rashi explains this, what happens if I give you the money, I send you with you the money to give him, and I do it in front of two witnesses? Let's say. Rashi said many times it happens. Okay? Listen, because afterwards you can say, I never gave you the money, and then he'll come to me for the money, and I'm out double. Right? Okay. So maybe I trust you, but when it comes to money, you know, there's no trust. You know, in business, you don't trust relatives, you don't trust nobody. Everything in writing, yeah? So I give you the money to give him, and I do it in front of two witnesses. Yeah? Can you testify that you paid him the money? Now you're a shliach, right? Or what happens if I send two shluchim? Can you now be two witnesses to testify that you gave him the money? So this is going to be a machlekes in the Gemara now between Rav and Rav Shila. Okay, let's see it inside. Itmar, we learned like this. Rav Amar, Rav says, Shliach Nasa Eid. A Shliach can become a witness. And the Gemara is going to explain why in a second. Tveid is Shila Emer, the Yeshiva Rav Shila says, Ein Shliach Nasa Eid. He cannot become a witness. Okay? Or like we learned in the Mishnah, just to give another example. So we learned, one second. You could send a shliach to do kedushin. Right? You could do it. The first mission is perek. Ish mekadi boy ubishluchim. You could do it yourself or with a shliach. I send two shluchim to do kedushin for this woman. They give it a ring for the sender, right? Can they testify and be the witnesses that it happened? That's the question. So Rav says yes, and Rav Shila says no. And the Gemara explains it. My time at the Rav Shila, what's the reason of Rav Shila why they say no? So he says, Ilema mishum da'amalei, because he didn't tell him, be a witness. He just said, bring the money. But he didn't tell him, be a witness. That doesn't make sense anyway. Elameyato. Kiddish isha b'fnei shenayim. I'll prove to you that you don't have to tell a witness that you have to be a witness. What happens if a guy did kedushin to a woman? A man went over to a woman. Two people happened to be standing there. Kosher witnesses, eh? He didn't say anything to them. He says to the woman, you know, you're consecrated to me. and the two witnesses are looking at it, he's saying, and he didn't say, you're my witnesses. You tell me it's not valid? Of course it's valid. Why shouldn't it be valid? You don't... It's like, imagine, a guy's killing somebody with two witnesses. He has to say, excuse me, watch the way I do it. I mean, they watch the murder. They're witnesses. You don't have to designate witnesses. You don't have to designate witnesses. The reason why a chuppah today we designate witnesses is not to designate the witnesses, to exclude everybody else. Because you have relatives and non-kosher witnesses over there, and you have relatives and all that, which are non-kosher witnesses. And if they're all testifying, the rule is, if part of the testimony is no good, the whole testimony is no good. That means you have 100 witnesses watching an event, and 2 out of the 100 are relatives, all 100 are no good. No logic. There's the cause of illogical, but that's what the book says. The Gemara learned. If 2 out of 100 are no good, all 100 is no good.
You can designate those witnesses after or before?
Before.
Before you have to do it, right?
Before. But what you're doing is not to designate witnesses. Like the Gemara is saying over here, you don't need to designate witnesses. What?
You're excluding the others.
How do you exclude others?
By
designating these. If I say, you, for instance, if 5 people watch the murder, yeah, a father and a son are walking, or 2 brothers, and there's a whole bunch of other people around, and they're watching a murder, yeah? So, l'chei, you'll never have witnesses, because 2 are not kosher, so automatically all 5 are kosher. Right? So what do you do? The halacha is, they shouldn't have, the father and the son, or one of them, shouldn't have in mind to be a witness. They're watching, but I'm not a witness. I could watch a kedushin, but I don't have to be a witness. And especially if you're told you're not a witness. But again, it's not to designate the witnesses, it's to exclude all the other people that are not going to make the wedding kosher, because if 2 are relatives, anybody relative, you know, you got under the chuppah, you got brothers, parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, I mean, whoever's there. So, they're not kosher witnesses. So it's not to designate the witnesses. It's to exclude everybody else. So the Gemara says like this. Rav Shila says, a shliach cannot be an aid. That means if a guy is a shliach to do kedushin, he cannot be a witness. If a shliach is bringing money to repay a debt, he cannot be a witness. So he says, why? So the Gemara says, if you're saying, right before the wide lines, all the way at the bottom of the page. Right before the wide lines start. My time in the way of Shail. Why does Rav Shaila say no? Because he didn't say be a witness. So he says, who says you have to say be a witness? If a man did kedushin of a woman in front of 2 people, and he didn't say you should be my witnesses, of course it's a good kedushin. So what's wrong? Why was the Rav Shaila say a shliach cannot become a witness? Which you asked before, why not? You know, he says why not? He says the argument is like this: Rav Amar shliach nasa aid. Let's go back now. Rav says a shliach could become an aid. Why? The shliach is the best witness. He saw it. He did it. He brought the money. Of course he could testify that the loan was repaid. He's doing the kedushin. For sure he can be a witness. But the way Rav Shila Emir says no. And this is a very interesting reason. Ein shliach nasa aid. A shliach cannot become a witness. Why? Because Steve and the Amar Mat. Because the rule is shliach shal adam kamaisai. A shliach of a person is like a person himself. A person can be a witness for himself. If I pay you back the loan, can I testify as a witness I paid you the loan? If a man is mekadesh a woman, can he be a witness to say I did it? No. So if a shliach is like the person that sent him, if the sender can't be an aid, how could he be an aid?
All the way.
Oh, so now the question, why does Rav say no? I'm saying, why does Rav say yeah? No, but Rav holds, and there's also, like, this is, we said there's a very interesting Shaila, Chakir is called, in Shlichas. Okay? Is it your action is like my action? Or your hand is my hand? Or am I you? In other words, when I send you to do a shliach, to do something, right? There's three ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is, you're doing it. Okay? It's your action, not me. I sent you, but you're doing it. But it's considered as if I did it. A deeper way of looking at it is, when you did it, I did it. So you didn't do it, I did it. This can also be the difference if the shliach could become a witness or not. If a shliach means, you did it, it's your action, but your action is like I did it, but then you're not me. If you're not me, then you could testify. But if you say that a shliach means, you are me, as the expression, yodai ki yodai, v'gufay ki gufay, your hand is my hand, you're my, then how could it be a witness? Then it's me. And this, some of us should learn, that's the argument over here between Rav and Veid of Shela, if a shliach could be a witness or not. If you hold he's mamish, the guy himself, so that's what Rav Shela says, that he's the guy himself, how can you be a witness on yourself? But if you hold, you're not me, it's just, your action is considered as if I did it, but you are you and me, then why can't he be a witness? What?
So if it's like a robot, it would be like, you go and you do this, but it's all on my responsibility.
Correct.
And so on.
Well, unless by sin we learned, because then you can tell him who told you to listen to me, or if the shliach does not listen to the one that sent him. For instance, if I say to a shliach, here, do kedushin for me with this woman in L.A. He comes to L.A., the woman's not there. She's in San Diego. So what does the shliach do? He goes to San Diego. That's sees the woman, does kedushin.
That's not a robot.
Valid or not valid?
That's not a robot.
Is it valid or not valid?
In LA.
If I say to you, do kedushin on the woman in LA, that means I want LA. And if you're in San Diego, it's not good. Okay? But what happens, the guy says a little bit differently. Be mekadosh this woman. She happens to be in LA. I didn't say, do kedushin for this woman in LA. I say to you, do kedushin with this woman. She happens to be in LA. Then the halacha, she's not in L.A., she's in San Diego, then the kedushin is good. Because I didn't tell you to do it only in L.A. I happened to tell you, where's it, what's her address? Her address is L.A. She moved, whatever. But if I say, do kedushin for this woman in L.A., and you do it in San Diego, you are not my shliach. The woman's not a married woman. And if she commits adultery, she's not killed for committing adultery, because she's not a married woman. So not really a robot. I mean, it's a robot, but you got to use your own judgment.
Why don't you compare the shaliach to the relative? Just like the relative, you have, maybe they take side. The shaliach would take side too.
That's not the reason. The Gemara refers to, by the way, is not done yet with this. Okay? Because the Gemara is going to explain more why he's more negei bedavar, the shaliach, could be. But a relative, the Rambam says, interestingly, the Rambam writes that the reason why relatives cannot be witnesses is not logical.
It's not?
No, it's gzeiras hakosov. It's illogical. The Torah says that's it. And the Rambam learns out from a pasuk. The Rambam HaChasidus learns out from a pasuk that relatives cannot be a kosher witnesses. And they give the analogy, Moshe and Aaron. He can't get more religious than them. Okay, they're not going to be taking sides. They're holy tzaddikim, the greatest. If Moshe and Aaron watched the Kedushin as witnesses, it's not kosher. If Moshe and Aaron saw a murder,
right,
and Moshe and Aaron come as witnesses to say that this guy murdered this guy, they're not believed. If Moshe and Aaron come and say, we know this guy lent the other guy money, and the guy denies it, and Moshe and Aaron to come, brothers, come and say, we testify that they're not, they're worthless.
Why is that?
Because the Torah says brothers are not relatives. I mean, are not, brothers not relatives. Brothers are not witnesses. One of the Gerei Rebbe said an interesting thing. He says, what's the logic? He makes a joke out of it, but he said, what's the logic? Why can't two brothers testify? He said like this. If they're testifying for each other, and they're biased, they're brothers. If they're testifying against each other, if two brothers can testify against each other, they're not a mensch. And the Torah says that witnesses have to be yom du shnei anoshim, they have to be a mensch. But that's not the reason. I mean, it's there's a kosher.
What qualifies a shaliach?
Anybody. Except he has to be Jewish. We learned before in the Gemara, said from Truma, ma'atam b'nei bris, have to be Jewish.
But, you know, I want to feel this person, I can trust this person.
That's up to you who to pick. It's up to you. But if you pick a yokel, can't be a kid either. There's no shlichus by a kid because he doesn't has the ability to do it. But women, adults over bar mitzvah, you know, whatever. We learned before, you can't mentally, you know, shite a deaf mute or a kid. Don't have a din of
shlichus. No, but Moshe and Joshua could have came in,
Moshe and Yeshua could have testified because they're not related. Right. But Moshe and Aaron, just because they're brothers, for no other reason. Not because they're not believed.
What's considered relative in this situation? Brothers and parents and children?
First cousins.
First cousins too? How about nephews?
Also not. Brothers-in-law not. Certain things technically are allowed, but the halacha says you don't do it. You keep it as much as, you know, even distant cousins is, you know. Second cousins technically are allowed to be witnesses. Technically. A great uncle and a nephew, technically would be allowed. But the bottom line is, and halacha says you distant, much as any type of relationship of relatives, you keep it, stay away from. Hello? I can't talk now. Okay, call me at home in 45 minutes. Okay? It's from Australia. Anyway, so he says like this. So this is the argument. One opinion says, what's better aid than the shliach? Another opinion says, how could he be a witness on himself? Okay. So Meisei, the Gemara says, I'll ask you a question. If somebody said to three people, go to Kedushin for me with this woman, okay? He says to three people, you guys go and do Kedushin with this woman for me. So how should they work it? So Gemara says, Echad shliach v'shnayim edim. One should be the agent, and the other two should be witnesses. Because Kedusha needs witnesses, right? So this is what Beis Shammai says, yeah? So Beis Shammai says, okay, you know what? You send three people as a shliach to do Kedusha. One guy should be the shliach, two guys should be the witnesses. But Beis Hillel Eimrim, no, kulim shluchim heim, they're all shluchim, ve'ein shliach nasa eid. And clearly Beis Hillel says, a shliach cannot be a witness. So what does Beis Hillel say? You don't have a good Kedushin. Because all three are shluchim. Because he didn't say one shliach, two witnesses. See, this is the argument. Beis Shammai says, when a guy sends three shluchim, why in the world is he sending three shluchim? Why would a guy send three shluchim to do... So, Beis Shammai says, what does he mean? Even though he didn't say it. What does he mean? One should do the Kedushin, and two should be witnesses. Beis Hillel says, no. That's not what the guy said. The guy said, I want three of you to be my shliach. So he made all three shluchim, right? And a shliach cannot become an aid. A shliach cannot become a witness.
So why are you sending
three people? One second. So it says, Ad kan li pligi ala b'shleish. When is Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing? Only when you send three people. Then you have one shliach according to Beis Shammai and two witnesses, right? What happens if a guy would send only two? Even Beis Shammai would agree it's no good, right? So the question is, if Rav holds a shliach could become a witness, if you send two, why isn't it good? In other words, like this, Beis Hillel for sure says it's no good. The Gemara is saying even Beis Shammai would agree that if there's only two, a shliach cannot become a witness. The only thing Beis Shammai is saying is there's only one shliach and two witnesses. But if there's two, well, you don't have one in one, because you need two witnesses. Even Beis Shammai would say it's no good. So Gemara says like this. You're right. Hu da amar ki hai tana. Rav holding this particular tana. In other words, like a different opinion. What does the other Tanya say? The Tanya Reb Nosson, Emre Reb Nosson says, Bishami Emrim, Bishami says, Shliach ve'eid echod. If you send one shliach, this is a different than what we just learned. This is a different brisa, which argues. Reb Nosson says like this, Bishami says, if you send one shliach and one witness, you got a good kedushin. No, he says it's good.
Now here it's good.
Yeah, because the shliach, I said this is a different opinion. That Beis Shammai, they're arguing what Beis Shammai said. Okay? So this opinion of Nassim says, Beis Shammai says, that if you have one shliach and one witness, it's done. Because you have, yeah, because the shliach becomes two witnesses, the shliach becomes a witness and there's another witness. Beis Hillel Eimrim? No. For it to be good, is shliach v'shnei edim. You need a shliach and two witnesses. Okay? So the Gemara says, that's what Rav holds like. Rav holds, because when you have three, you have one shliach and two witnesses. But really, a shliach cannot become an aid. Okay? Which opinion is that Beis Shammai? So the Gemara says, V'rav ke Beis Shammai? Because Beis Hillel says, for sure you can't do it. For sure the shliach cannot become a witness. He says so clearly, Ein shliach nasa aid. So you tell me Rav, who holds you could, is holding like Beis Shammai's opinion? This doesn't make sense, because we know when there's an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the halacha is like Beis Hillel. So how could he hold like Beis Shammai?
But it's not the same.
Huh?
The Tanya says three shluchim. Here it says
shaliach. Then it's good. Why? Because a shliach cannot be an aid.
Right.
But Beis Shammai says even one shliach and one aid could be. So he's saying even Beis Shammai doesn't agree with you. And if you want to say, no, he says, so Rav would hold like Beis Shammai. In other words, Beis Hillel says, you need one shliach and two aidim, because the shliach cannot become an aid.
Right.
Who says the shliach could become an aid? Oh. Beis Shammai. Okay. One shliach and one aid. So Gemara says, so Rav holds like Beis Shammai? That doesn't make sense. Because the halacha is like Beis Hillel. Why should Rav rule like Shammai if the halacha is not like that? So he says like this. Epoch, turn it around. Meaning, that Beis Hillel holds a shliach and an aid is good, and Beis Shammai says you need a shliach and two aidim. And I'll just turn around the opinion of the Brais. So then Rav would hold like Beis Hillel. So Gemara says like this, V'ravacha b'rei d'rav v'masni ipchot. He learns, not, until now he said like this, Rav holds a shliach cannot become an aid, and Rav Shila says it could. This opinion turns those opinions around. Not Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but these two. The Rav Amar Ein Shliach Nasa Eid, and the Beit Rav Shila Amar Shliach Nasa Eid. The argument is different between Rav and Rav Shila, and the Gemara makes a ruling. Hilchos the Halacha is Shliach Nasa Eid. A Shliach could become a witness.
Can.
And therefore there's the Halacha, because the Gemara rules clearly. The Halacha is a Shliach could become a witness.
And you there was an argument that he didn't specify at the beginning that one of them is a witness. So, but even that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's a shilech can be a witness.
Right.
But then if I'm going to give some money to some guy, the shilech says, go ahead and give this $100 to that guy, and the guy comes and say, well, I didn't receive it. And shilech says, well, I gave it to him. And here in this situation, he could be benefiting.
That's what the Gemara is going to go into now. Soon.
So that's a different situation.
There's a famous scenario in the Gemara that's called Chemveni al Pinkasei. A storekeeper with his ledger. Okay? And you have to remember, in the olden times, they had, I mean, it's the same scenario you can have today, it's just different names. Okay? You work for me. Yeah? So I owe you $100. You worked, I owe you $100. I don't have the $100. You're a storekeeper. I say to the storekeeper, do me a favor, pay him the $100 that I owe him, and I'll give you the $100. Very simple, yeah?
Yeah.
You pay him, and I'll pay you back. What happens? You come to me, where's my money? You never got it. I said, what do you mean? He gave it to you. He said, he never gave it to me. So you come to me, say, listen, I worked for you, you owe me $100. You come to me and say, I gave him the $100. I owe you the money.
Oh. This probably happens, actually.
This happens. In the Gemara, it's a very common case.
Call him and say, can you give him...
Okay, now, can you imagine? You're coming to me for the $100. Because you say you gave it to him. You come to me, where's the money? Because he didn't give it to me. Now, so basically, you're coming to me for $100. You're coming to me for $100. Right? Now, I don't know. I can't say, like if I say you owe me $100, I could say no. Okay? But I'm not saying no, because I don't know what happened. I don't know if you got paid. I don't know if you got paid. Right? I don't know if you gave him the money, you didn't give him the money. I don't know if you got the money, you didn't give the money. Right? So it's a whole classic case in the Gemara. Now, the problem is, normally, and we're going to see this relevant over here in this Gemara, that's why I'm mentioning it now. Normally, if I say to you, you owe me $100, and you say no, okay, what's the din? You swear that you don't owe me the money, and you're potter. It's a rabbinic oath. Okay? Right? You swear that I don't owe you the money. And the problem is, I can't swear that. Normally, you're asking me for the $100. You're asking me for the $100. Right? Normally, if I would say, no, I don't, I would be able to swear that I don't owe you the money. Right? That's normally what you swear, that I don't owe you. You're asking me for $100, I don't owe you the money. In this case, I can't swear because I don't know. Because it's not up to me. It's not that you lent me the money, I say no because I know, right? I don't know. So what do you do? So the halacha is like this. You swear that you never got the money. You swear that you gave the money and I'm out $200. Now, normally in halacha, you never swear and take. Mm-hmm. You never swear and take. Like, if I say to you, you owe me $100, yeah? And you say no. Bezin doesn't let me swear. I'll swear that you owe me the $100. You never swear and take. Right. The Torah says, because in the Chumash it says, you swear and you get out of payment. You never swear and take. But there's few exceptions. Basically, two exceptions. This case, because really, I'm supposed to swear that I don't owe you money. But I can't because I don't know. So therefore, Bezin has no choice. You swear and take, and you swear and take. Or, if you want $100 from me, so normally I would swear that I don't, right? But if I'm a proven liar that swears falsely, Bezin is not going to let me swear, because it doesn't mean anything. Right, I lie, so I'm going to swear falsely anyway. So then what do you do? So, k'negda, k'negdai, nishba v'neitel. In that case, you swear and take the money. I can't swear. It's like similar to this case. I can't swear here because I don't know. In your case, because I'm a liar. Right, so I can't swear. That's not going to let me swear if I'm a liar. I'm going to lie anyway. So then in those cases, you swear and take.
If somebody is not afraid to lie, he's afraid to swear?
Yeah. The Gemara says, even choshed amamayna, even a person suspected of stealing money, lo choshed ashvuasa, is not choshed, is not suspected when it comes to an oath. For some reason, an oath, Yishon, when he said God's name, the oath of the olden times, the biblical oath, it was in a darkened room, in front of a bezdin, they spooked up the room, made it spooky, and a guy would swear on a sefer Torah using Hashem's name, people were afraid to do it. Even a guy that would, you know, be suspected of cheating, the Gemara said, we don't suspect him for swearing. That far he wouldn't go. But a guy who's a proven liar, Bezin doesn't let him swear. So like, what are you going to let him swear for? He's not afraid of anything. Okay, but that's really, we jumped the gun a little bit.
But before you go there, so here we concluded that is acceptable as a witness.
Correct.
And so on. Then why there's arguments that in other situations is not acceptable?
Like what?
We have concluded that, okay, Perez is a witness.
Right.
It was the last of your statement. But then in that other situation, that we just talk about the money and so on, he cannot be used as a witness. Is that we cannot take his statement that, okay, I never gave the money.
No, because he's biased. He's not a regular shliach. If he says I didn't give the money, I'm going to take the money back from him. He's biased in that case.
So then...
A shliach who's biased cannot... I'll give you an example. A shliach who's a relative could be a witness?
No.
Right? Ayin Gemara says a shliach could be a witness. It means if a shliach would be a kosher witness, then he could be a kosher witness. But if he's a relative, if I send my brother to do something, I can't be a witness because he's my brother.
So he's not black and white.
Right. In other words, in a case when halachically the shliach has no bias and he's not related and he's a kosher Jew, so to speak, he's allowed to be a witness. Of course, if he can be a witness, he can be a witness. I mean, that's not because of the din, though. It's because this guy can be a witness, period. Even if it wouldn't be a shliach, he couldn't be a witness.
Okay,
so now that we established that a shliach could become all the way to the bottom line. No, the bottom line of Mem Gimel Stok. Amir Rav Nachman. Now that we established a shliach could be an aid, so Amir Shnayim, if somebody said to two people, Tzu v'kid shliach se'itche, go out and do kedushin for this woman and for me, we say, hein shluchav, hein edav. The shluchim are the witnesses. Like we said, in this case, the shliach could become a witness. V'chein begedushin, the same thing applies by a get, that if a guy sends two shluchim to give a get to his wife, they can be the witnesses. And, v'chein bedinim mominus. Okay, same thing in monetary laws. Which means, if I send two witnesses to pay back my debt, they can testify as witnesses that the debt was repaid. But the Gemara says the three things. The din applied by kedushin, by get, and money. So the Gemara is asking, why do I need to say all three dinim? Why can't I learn out like one from the other? See, says like this. Utzich, I need Rav Nachman to tell me all these cases. He says, why? The iyash, meaning kedushin, if he only told me that your shliach could become a witness by kedushin, I would think, mishum de lemeseder koi, the shluchim are coming to restrict the woman by doing kedushin. Meaning like this. The way the Gemara thinks, unbelievable. If two shluchim come and say to this woman, you have kedushin, there's absolutely no bias in it. What do you think, they're falling in love with her? The second they do kedushin, they're out of the picture. She's a married woman. Right? But maybe by get, the shluchim do have a bias. Because if they testify the woman is divorced, maybe they'll want to marry her. So maybe over there it wouldn't be good for the shliach to be an aid, because over here the shliach does have a bias. By kedushin, there's no bias. By doing the kedushin, on the contrary, she becomes forbidden for everybody. So what are they gaining out of it? So if they testify, we did the kedushin, there's absolutely no bias. They're not negay bedavar. But if they're testifying at kedushin, a neged, I would think maybe they are by. Maybe one of them wants to marry her. And that's why they're testifying. And then he says, what's with money? The iyash meaning gedushin, and if it would tell us gedushin, mishum the itzel lebeitrei lechazi. You know why you believe the two witnesses, the shluchim? Because both can't marry the woman. A woman can't marry both of them. So why should I think they're both no good? The guy can think, listen, if there's no good, she can't marry any of them. So again, there's really no bias. But by money, the shluchim can split 50-50. You can't split a woman 50-50. Only one guy can marry her, not two. But by money, maybe if the shluchim are sending the money, maybe they shouldn't be allowed to testify. Because maybe they'll lie. They'll say, we gave him the money, the debt was repaid, and they'll pocket the money, 50-50. So I would think maybe it's no good. So he tells us, no, in all three cases, it's good. Even when there's no bias in Kedushin, there's a little bit of bias by Gershon, maybe by money there's more. He says, in all these cases, it's okay. The shliach, the shluchim, could become witnesses. Now the Gemara is going into not a whole new thing, but the Gemara is questioning about the monetary issue. Okay. There's a din like this. Hamalves chaveira be'edim. There's an argument in the Gemara. If I lend you, I don't know how far we're going to get because we have to explain this whole din. If I lend you money, okay, and let's say nobody's around, I lend you money. You can pay me back with nobody around also. That's a given. What happens? Amalvas chaveira be'edim. I lent you money in front of two witnesses. No documents. Okay, documents are documents. You don't need anything else. But I lend you money, $1,000, in front of these two guys. Do you have to pay me back in front of witnesses or not?
If there's no document. If you're paying back, there's no document.
Right. But must it be done in front of two witnesses? And if it wasn't, and you say, you pay me back the money, and I say to you, prove it, and you can't produce the two witnesses, you owe me the money again. So there's an argument in the Gemara, in Bava Kamma, Bava Metzia, I mean, all over the place. Okay? Amavas chaveira be'edim. When you lend money with witnesses, do you have to pay it back with witnesses or not? Okay? Now, the Gemara is trying to figure out over here, when the shluchim are sent to pay back a debt, and we say they can be witnesses. The Gemara is analyzing why are they allowed to be witnesses? Why aren't they biased over here? Because maybe they'll testify that we gave them the money, and then they'll pocket the money, right? And then they're biased. Anytime there's a bias in witnesses, in testimony, it can't be a witness. Right? You can't be a witness if there's bias. So the Gemara says like this, Micah Sover. Says like the Ika Savar, if this opinion holds, Rav Nachman in it, Hamava Chaveir Be'edim, that if you lend money with the witnesses, Tzorach Lefer Be'edim, the witness has to pay back with witnesses. Okay. Now, by lending money, the Gemara explains this like this in Shavuos. By lending money in front of two witnesses, I'm basically telling you, I don't trust you. Okay? That means, I'm telling you right now, when you tell me you're going to pay me back, I don't trust you. That's basically, why is he doing in front of witnesses? If you trust the guy, we need witnesses for, right? Obviously you don't trust the guy. So what are you saying? That your action of lending him the money in front of two witnesses is primarily saying that I don't trust you. Okay? So therefore, until you pay me back in front of witnesses, I'm not going to trust you. Or I send the document that you pay me back, right? So Gemara, if that's the case, Hanin negebe desinenu. They're partial to the matter. They have a stake to say that the lender got the money. Why? The e amrilaypurina, because if they say we did not pay them the money, that we didn't pay the lender the money, what's the borrower gonna say? Give me back the money. They have to say they paid him the money. Because if they didn't say we paid him the money, yeah, and again, I gave you the money to, as a shliach in front of two witnesses, you're going to have to give him back the money in front of witnesses. So they must say that they gave him the money. Because otherwise the borrower would say, 1 minute, I gave you money to pay back the lender. Where's that money? You didn't pay him. Give it back to me. So therefore they're relevant. They're biased to say that we gave him the money. Okay. Now, therefore we say like this. Therefore we must say Rav Nachman holds Hamalvus Chaveda Be'edim. If you lend money to somebody with witnesses, ain't tzarich lefoder be'edim. You don't have to. Okay? So nevertheless like this. But then it would be okay. Why? Because Rav Nachman says the agents could be accepted in Beis Din. Because what are they afraid of? The borrower is going to say, where's my money? They could have said, we gave it back to you. You already gave it back to the borrower. What happened? The borrower said, take this money, give it to the lender. But I owe money. Take the money to the lender. Now, if you hold, they don't have to pay back with witnesses. So they're not forced to say, we gave it to the lender. They can say, we gave it back to the borrower too. They can say whatever they want. And nobody's going to prove that they have to pay him. If you hold, they have to pay back with witnesses. That means the borrower can always say to them, give me back the money I gave you. You're telling me you didn't pay him? Give me back the money. So what are they going to say? We paid him. They have no choice. Right. But if you hold, they don't have to pay back with witnesses. Just like they can say, we paid the lender, they can say to the borrower, what do you mean? Where's my money? We gave it back to you. We decided not to go, and we gave you back the money. So they're not biased in the testimony. They don't have to say anything. They can say we gave it to the lender, or they can say we gave it back to the borrower. They can say whatever they want. And that's why they could be a witness. Because they're not biased anymore. If you hold that if you lend money with witnesses, you must pay back with witnesses, the shluchim must, for their own safety, say we paid the lender. Because if they didn't say that, the borrower is going to say, give me the money. I gave you the money. They can't say we gave it back to you because they need to give it back in front of two witnesses. Right? But if you hold, you don't have to pay back in front of witnesses. If the borrower says, where's the money? The shulchan says, what do you mean, where's the money? We gave it back to you. They could say we gave it to the lender if they're going to have him. Right? They could say we either gave it to the lender or we gave it to the borrower and keep the money themselves. So they're not forced to testify one way or another. So therefore, he says, if by monetary laws the shliach could become a witness, we must say that he holds, meanwhile, that if you lend money with witnesses, you don't have to pay back with witnesses. And therefore, the shluchim, like he says, just like they say, we gave it back to the borrower, they could say we gave it to the lender. So they have a choice. They're not forced to say what they want to say. And therefore, they're not negebed of it. But if you hold, they have to pay back with witnesses, then they can't say we gave it back to the borrower. The borrower is going to say, prove it. If you're returning the money I gave you to bring to the lender, you have to prove it back that you gave him that you gave me back the money. And that they can't do. So they can force to say we gave it to the lender. So therefore, they can be a witness.
But how many people can give back the money to the borrower with the witness? It doesn't make sense.
No, but if he's giving the money to bring to the lender,
right,
and he's doing it in front of two witnesses.
Oh, he's doing that in front of...
Yeah, because otherwise... No, we said that before. He's doing it in front of witnesses. Otherwise... They can say, what are you talking about? You never gave me any money.
I thought that the witness is only by the lender. When you want to give the money back to the lender.
No, either way. So he gave them the money to give to the lender in front of two witnesses. And therefore, if they can't say to the borrower, we give you back the money, because you have to give back to me in front of two witnesses either.
Right.
If there's no witnesses, and I give you $1,000 to pay him, right? And you say, I never gave you the money, what proof do I have? Right? I have no proof that I gave you the money. Okay.